Glad that you're here today. We hope that you're glad you're here. And we believe that the Lord is at work among us. So just sort of open your heart and let God be God. Let Him do what He does. I would like to just say, we would like to congratulate Kirby Dane on a career well done. I think he had his last game yesterday. And I got to be at his last home game, and right before the game, he got up and he said something like this. I wouldn't be able to say it as eloquent as Kirby did, but he said, I hope that my investment here will not be judged in wins and losses, but that it will only be known eternally. And my heart just melted. See, I've known this boy since he was about 12, and to hear him give that testimony was no surprise to me, but it was a delight to me. Today we are taking just a spotlight here for a few moments. You may not know, but we believe in education in the Church of the Nazarene. We believe in Christian education. We have colleges, universities really around the world, but we have quite a few across the United States. And regionally, we are tied to the Eastern Nazarene College up in Quincy, Mass., outside of Boston. And well, since I've been pastor, but way before then, if you tithe to the local church, then you have invested in the lives who have trained at Eastern Nazarene College. As a matter of fact, a few years back, I was invited there to speak at chapel, and it was one of the great days of my life. The student body just leaned in, and they gave me a lot of mercy, but God came and landed among us in that chapel service. And after the service, I asked the president, I said, why was I invited? You know, I was just trying to figure out why they asked me to come. And they said, well, you may not know, Kerry, and it went something like this. But the Harrisonburg Church has given more money to Eastern Nazarene College than any other church on the region. Who knew? I don't know if that is still the same. And I guess that's a little puzzling because we're at the southern reaches of our university. And so we've been investing, you know, we just give it willingly. We gladly give it because we know only eternity will reveal what we've invested in the kingdom. But I didn't know we would start to experience a windfall in our own church from those investments because three of our pastoral staff now graduated from Eastern Nazarene College, and they are helping us find the future. And so today we wanted to take just a moment to tie their stories a little bit to the message series that we're in, Surrendering Control, More Than a One-Time Thing. And so the three graduates are Pastor Olivia Michael, who oversees our student ministries, Pastor Julie Cameron, who oversees our children ministries, and Pastor Adrian Mills, who oversees about everything. So Pastor Adrian's teaching today in the Discover class, so I ask if Julie and Olivia would come here and join me just for a moment and let you hear just a little bit about the call of God upon their lives and what that kind of looked like from their perspective. I think that today you're going to hear something in this service that is going to resonate with your own soul, and it may be this first part that is most essential. And so this is part of the message today. The story is so beautiful. And so basically I'm going to let them have a seat here wherever they like, and I'm just going to ask them one question, and they know they can say whatever they want, okay? That's kind of the deal. But this is Pastor Julie, this is Pastor Olivia, if you're new with us today. And I just want you to tell us a little bit about God's call upon your life, how maybe Eastern Nazarene College played a part in that, and how that influence is affecting you still. So whatever you want, we let Pastor Olivia go first in the first service. So Pastor Julie, it's your turn. Anything you'd like to share, just give it to us.
So I think definitely what Pastor Kerry said about surrendering being more than a one-time thing. And I've had to live through that and just be able to surrender to God at multiple times in my life when it was really, really difficult to do that. And so I'll just tell you a little bit about how I got into ministry. First time I remember really feeling a call on my life was I was 8 years old, and I remember I was watching TV, probably wasn't supposed to be, but I was, and there was a commercial that came on TV, and I don't remember what the organization was, but it was something similar to Food for the Hungry. And I just saw all these kids on TV, and you know, your heart just breaks for that. So I just remember my heart breaking, and I thought, I want to do that. I want to minister to these kids, and I want to be able to influence lives like that. And then I think that really got lost on me as I got older. And so my senior year of high school was really a struggle for me because I saw everyone around me that had these plans for their lives, and they wanted to be teachers, and they wanted to be psychologists, and I didn't have that, and I couldn't find anything that I was passionate about, and that was really difficult for me, not having a plan, and a really low point. And so actually, the one thing that I was passionate about in high school, I really enjoyed Spanish. So I thought, I'll pursue that. I'll pursue Spanish. And then God called me to ENC. For those of you who don't know, ENC does not offer Spanish. So I was really confused about that. So I learned to just have peace. I knew God was calling me to ENC, so I went there. And within my first semester of college, I just felt this enormous pressure on me that I had to have a plan. I had to have a major. I needed to know what I was doing there. And I really allowed those lies of the enemy to get into my head and to tell me that. And so I thought, well, I really like kids. So I started studying early childhood education. And so I did that for a year and just felt this really heavy weight about it, that this is not what I was supposed to be doing. And God kept telling me no. And I was like, well, there's nothing else for me, so I'm doing it. So I just kept pursuing that and just felt enormously like disconnected from that and knew that wasn't for me, but I didn't know what else to do. So it was my sophomore year of college, halfway through, and it was about to be right before Christmas break, and I attended the Nazarene Church on campus one morning, and it happened to be their children's Christmas program. And I was sitting in the seats watching, and I just heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, this is where I want you. And I was like, where? Where exactly? Because I need to know. But he didn't tell me that. He just said, this is where I want you. And I was like, okay. So I'll be involved in some sort of ministry, but I am not going to be a pastor because I hate public speaking, and that's just not for me. So I went and talked to the director of the youth ministry department, and he just prayed with me and encouraged me to go home and spend my Christmas break praying about it. So I did that and just really felt confirmation from the Lord that I needed to study ministry and go into ministry. But I'd really, you know, I, looking back since God called me to do that at a children's program, should have kind of occurred to me that I was supposed to be in children's ministry. But that never occurred to me. And I think the Lord really kept that from me to teach me a lesson about just trusting him and moving forward in that surrender to him. And so my senior year of college, I started to feel that pressure again that I had to make a plan and I had to have something planned for my future. And of course, it doesn't help when everyone around you is asking you, so what's next? What are you doing after graduation? But I really allowed those voices of the enemy to speak to me again and to tell me that I had to plan something. And so really, I was idolizing structure and having a plan when I should have been placing that in the Lord and allowing him to be my guide through that. And so it was right before, a month or two before graduation, and I went home for a weekend. And my pastor back home asked me, what has the Lord been saying to you? And I just remember saying, like, he told me not to make a plan. And that was the first time I felt peace.
Amen.
That I didn't need to know. I didn't need to have my own plan because I knew God's was greater, even though I didn't know what that was. So that really just broke me. And so I graduated and I went home and I spent the summer waitressing and cleaning houses. And that was when Pastor Adrian actually called me out of the blue. I had no idea who he was. But another really cool story. I won't go into that now. But it was just like I knew as soon as he told me they were looking for a children's pastor, I was like, it just clicked. This is what God has called me to. And so really, I'm grateful that he didn't reveal that to me before because it really taught me a lesson about just trusting him. So.
Amen. The Lord can bring a girl from New Hampshire to Virginia. He has a plan. We all applaud God's plan, don't you think? That's beautiful. All right, Pastor Olivia.
Okay.
Lay into it.
Julie said this in the first service, but our stories do look very similar. My senior year, I thought I had a plan, I think. My plan was to not be a pastor. That is what I told myself. Here we are. But I thought, maybe I'll be a cosmetologist. Everyone has a plan. I don't have a plan. This seems like, you know, an okay thing to do. So I went to beauty school for a day, and I dropped out. And I was like, this is not for, I cannot do this. This is not for me. So I am the beauty school dropout. So I did that, and I was like, something's got to give, because I really don't know. Everyone has a plan. What do I do? And so there are three times in my life that I heard God's voice so very clear to me. Yes. And, you know, we talk a lot, but three times that I specifically know God was speaking directly to me. And the first time was actually back in that back row back there. I was sitting there, and God spoke to me so clearly. He said, Olivia, it's time to end that relationship you're in. And I was like, why? Like, I don't understand. And like, are you sure? But he said, yes, I'm sure. And I didn't understand it. It was painful. But I said, okay. And a few hours later, I went home and I made the phone call and it ended. And I was like, okay, God, I don't know what that means for my life, but I'm trusting you. And so the next time I was standing over there somewhere at Winter Retreat, these chairs weren't here. And I remember God saying to me, Olivia, you're going to go to ENC. And I was like, ugh. Okay, I wanted to stay local. I wanted to live at home and save money and do all those things, but that's what he said to me. And I said, okay. So that next semester, I went to ENC in the fall, and I was an undeclared major. I had absolutely no idea. And I was like, I don't know how people figure this out. Like, I really have no idea. And I think I was every major that I could be. I think I ended up being a business major with a double minor, and I still can't read a spreadsheet, so God knows what he's doing, and I don't. And so anyways, the third time I heard God speak so clearly to me was my freshman year in college. Pastor Adrian called me when I was at ENC, and he was like, hey, I have an idea. Would you speak at the teen camp this summer? And I was like, no, I won't do that. And he said, I want you to pray about it, think about it, whatever. So after a long time of convincing me, I finally said, okay, I'll do it. And so I was very nervous, and I got up on stage, and I spoke, and I walked off stage, and I wept. And I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I don't like public speaking. I don't like being in front of people. But I never felt such peace in my heart than I did when I was speaking to those kids. And so the next week, I emailed my professor, and I said, hey, I think I'm going to change my major to religion. And I did that, and I said religion. And I just, looking back, there was never really a time that God said, hey, you're going to be a pastor, because I would have been like, no, and I would have ran. But he just called me to say yes to the little things step by step. And I did that, and I got here.
So. Yeah. And I told Olivia recently, I said, Olivia, I wish I had teens simply so you could influence them, because she loves God. And here you have two young ladies who are doing what they didn't like because of who they love. And now it has become their reality. Let's give God praise. I'll let you go ahead and have a seat, and I'm going to pray as you're going. Lord, today we just want to talk to you for a moment. First of all, Lord, the scripture came to my mind. It's a question sometimes I ask people. I say, do you believe we're living in the last days? And I always get a yes. And then I quote that scripture from Acts. In the last days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And my heart is wonderfully warm today. I thank you, Lord, first of all, that you have a plan. And even though we don't know what that plan might be, even for our future now, wherever we're standing, maybe we've seen your plan unfold in the past and even in the present. But as we stand in the present, we really don't know what your plan is for the future. Well, we can surrender. We can surrender control where we are right now. And we can know that your plan will be better than any dream we could have had for ourselves. So now, Lord, speak to the rest of us. Help us to hear what you're saying today. And help us to be ready to surrender control again. And the people said, amen. We do thank God for the investment of Eastern Nazarene College in our young people. And maybe today some of you would even have questions about a future there. You can talk to Pastor Jolie, Pastor Olivia, Pastor Adrian. I'm sure they would be more than glad to connect you with a conversation if the Lord is desiring that. As they were speaking in the first service, the Lord brought a story to my heart that I know that must be told. I remembered another college student many years ago, 100 years ago. His name was Oswald Chambers. Now, Oswald Chambers, if you don't know, wrote the great devotional classic. Actually, his wife wrote the classic from his preaching. It's titled, My Utmost for His Highest. My Utmost for His Highest. In other words, My Best for His Glory. And that book became, and is still today, instrumental in my own spiritual development. Especially, I have learned from the writings of Oswald Chambers, surrender and the importance of it in the Christian life. But I was thinking about the biography on Oswald Chambers titled Abandoned to God. It's the best biography I've ever read in my life. Abandoned to God. It means surrendered to God, yielded to God. And this was the theme of his life. Well, Oswald Chambers, when he was in high school, he dealt with God's call upon his life. But you see, Oswald Chambers was very talented. He had art talent that was off the rocker. I mean, like Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo type talent. I've seen his work that he did when he was in high school. He also played classical piano like nobody's business. So his heart and his leanings were in the arts. And so when God was talking to him, he sort of influenced the call of God on his life by saying to God, I will be your minister to the eclectic world. And we know the art world needs ministering to. And so it sounded like an okay deal with Oswald. But see, he had received a full scholarship ride to Edinburgh University in Scotland for his art ability. And so he signed up and he took it. And he went for his freshman year at Edinburgh. In his biography, in his journaling, he wrote something akin to this. He said, it was an afternoon and I had an uneasiness in my spirit. My soul was troubled and I did not know why. He said, so I took my coat and I left my room and I walked up on the top of King Arthur's Seat. This is a mountain right there in Edinburgh behind the university. And he said, I was determined that I was not coming down until I had peace with God, because I was troubled. And he began to cry out to God on the mountaintop. Went past midnight. I think he said it was around 2 or 3 in the morning. And he said, I could hear my own voice crying out to God in the wind on that knoll. I could hear my voice saying, God, what do you want with me? And you don't find this anywhere else in Chambers' writings, but you'll find it here. He said, and as I cried out that question, God answered me audibly. He said, Oswald Chambers, I want your life for my full-time service, but I can do without you. What a statement. Last week I ended the service by saying something like this. We need God. He wants us. Do you know God doesn't need us? But He wants us. He wants us for His service. Chambers knew he heard from God. He didn't know what it meant, but he abandoned to God on that windy knoll, 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning in Scotland. He came down, he went to his room, he packed his bags, got all his stuff together, went down to the office, closed out his school account, and just sat and waited. You know, he's also the one that coined the phrase that when you don't know what to do, trust God and do the next thing you can do. So he didn't know what to do. He knew he could pack. He knew he could go to the office and close out his account. And he knew he could wait on God. So that's exactly what he did. He said, during that wait, I heard the mail come and I went to get my mail. And in my mail was a brochure for Dunoon Bible College. He took the brochure. He took his suitcases. He walked to the ferry terminal. He went to Dunoon. And he went up to McGregor, who was the headmaster of this Bible school. He knocked on the front door. They answered the door. He said, "I'm here to enroll." That is the life of Oswald Chambers. That is the surrender of control. Now, Oswald Chambers would die at age 43 in Cairo, Egypt. He was serving with the YMCA, and each evening he and his wife, they would prepare cookies and tea for the British soldiers. They would come, they would hear Oswald Chambers preach, and then they would literally go to the theater and die the next day. He went to minister to those near his death. It was there that he had an appendectomy that got infected, and he died at age 43. When he died, people were surprised at how many folk lined the roads on the day of his funeral. You know, yesterday my heart was moved. And before we close the service, I want to have a moment of silence for Billy Graham. But I was watching as the hearse was going by and people were lining the roads there in North Carolina. And I think it must have been something like that for Oswald Chambers. And Oswald Chambers, he didn't just minister to the soldiers, he ministered to the Cairo people. He let Christ manifest himself through his life. And the whole city was in love with him and all of the troops. As a matter of fact, when he died, the military personnel, even though he was civilian, they went to their commander and they demanded that Oswald Chambers have a full military funeral. And so you can go and see the pictures today, a horse-drawn carriage with the casket of Oswald Chambers on top. 100 British soldiers marched ahead of him. They went to the military cemetery for the British in Cairo. Now, we took a trip a few years back, our Hearts Aflame trip to the Holy Land. That year, it happened to include Egypt. I don't know if we'll try that again, but it was good for one time. And there were a lot of reasons I wanted to go to Egypt, of course, Bible reasons. But I must admit to you, there was no greater reason I wanted to go to Egypt than to go find this British cemetery and see if I could go and pay my respects to Oswald Chambers where he was laid in rest. And so sure enough, one day, our bus, one afternoon, we pulled up to this British cemetery in Cairo, and we walk in, and it looks a little bit like Arlington. It's massive. I mean, I don't know if this is a good idea. All of a sudden, I saw a man who was like a gardener in the cemetery, and he came towards me, a lovely, smiling Egyptian man, and he spoke English, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Well, I don't really know. I'm here to find one grave." He said, "What is the name?" I said, "Oswald Chambers." He said, "Oh, yes." He smiled like he knew Jesus. He said, "Follow me." And we would go about 300, 400 yards, I'll never forget the walk, straight down the center of that military cemetery, and he hung a right, and he took us under this beautiful tree. And right there is a little white headstone. It says Oswald Chambers, and on the bottom it says, "A believer in Jesus Christ." This simple headstone. I mean, we're thinking about Billy Graham, right? I mean, can you imagine when he came into heaven, how many people were there to say, "Billy, we're glad you made it so we can thank you. It's because of you that we're here." You have to love the life of Billy Graham. It doesn't matter who you are. When they opened his library, Franklin said, we went and got Dad. He hadn't seen any of it. We walked him through it. And at the end, I said, "Dad, well, how do you like the library?" He said, "Too much Billy." Now, that lets you know why God used him. That's a surrender statement. Too much Billy. In other words, let Billy decrease, let Christ increase. You got to love Ruth Graham. She was the humorist in the family. Billy was always afraid of what she was going to say when they interviewed her because she was just a hoot. But she loved God. And her tombstone has kind of an interesting engraving. One day she was going through a construction zone on a road. And when she came through it, she saw a sign that said, "Construction ended. Thanks for your patience." She came back to her family and she said, "I found my epitaph today." And so if you go to the Billy Graham Library and go see where Ruth Graham is laid at rest, you will look on her tombstone. It says, "Construction ended. Thanks for your patience." But pretty soon there will be another headstone laid next to her. And here's what it's going to say. They already have the inscription. "Billy Graham, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ." How beautiful is that? Two simple people that God used to change the world. Now, Billy wasn't the only one who surrendered. Ruth had to surrender. She didn't see much of Billy Graham for most of her life. He would be gone for 6 months at a time preaching around the world. She was raising kids like a single mother for all practical purposes. She said, one day I just said aloud, she said, well, Lord, I'd rather see a little bit of Billy than a whole lot of anybody else. That is a prayer of surrender. That is accepting what God has called you to. You know what? Ruth Graham also, she felt all her life she had a call to be a missionary in Tibet. She never planned to be married. She said, my dream is to be an old maid missionary. That's what she said as a young girl. But God took that noble dream, and look at the plan. He let her be a part of the world literally, not just Tibet, but the whole world. And you know what? Her son, one of her sons, became a missionary or a preacher to China. So the beautiful thing is that God has plans that we don't know about if we surrender to Him, if we'll just let Him do what He does. I hope you'll find that book and read it, Abandoned to God. It will change your life. It's a beautiful, beautiful story on the life of Oswald Chambers. But as we're talking about students today, we're talking about young folks surrendering their life, I want you to know it doesn't matter what age you are, it's not too late to surrender control to God. It's never too late to do the right thing. And I pray today that if you feel in control of your life, but it's feeling out of control, that before we end, your hand will be lifted in surrender to the God who loves you and the God who wants you, the God who doesn't need you, but He has a plan. Turn in your scripture to Mark 14, if you would. Pastor, this surrender and control, more than a one-time thing, is that in scripture? All through scripture. But I'm going to show you maybe the most beautiful place you're going to find it. Surrender repeated in one passage of Scripture. Mark 14 and verse 32. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm reading from God's Word translation, Mark 14, verse 32. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus said to His disciples, stay here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John with Him and began to feel distressed and anguished. He said to them, my anguish is so great that I feel as if I'm dying. Wait here and stay awake. After walking a little farther, He fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, He might not have to suffer what was ahead of Him. He said, Abba, Father, You can do anything. Take this cup of suffering away from me, but let Your will be done rather than mine. There's the first place of surrender. He's surrendering control to the Father, to the Father's plan. Verse 37, Jesus, went back and found them, the disciples, asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you won't be tempted. You want to do what's right, but you're weak. Verse 39, He went away again and prayed the same prayer as before. Surrender and control twice in one passage, and this is the Son of God. The mission before Him was overwhelming Him. Who would want to go die on a cross if they could get out of it? Yet Jesus surrendered control. And even in this passage, it was more than a one-time thing. Have you thought all that Jesus gave up to come to this earth? I mean, you talk about being in your comfort zone. He was in heaven. But He was willing to surrender control of His comfort because He knew that if He could come and win us, His future would be more beautiful because He could spend it with the likes of us. It's amazing. He surrendered control. Somebody had to die for our sins. And Jesus laid down His robes of comfort. And He came and He took on our robes of unrighteousness, our sin. And He surrendered control. You know, we can follow the life of Christ. We can't sing some of the songs if we don't follow His life, if we don't follow His example. Songs like, oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. But we can't be like Him if we don't surrender control. This is at the very basis of who Jesus was and who He calls us to be. I must admit that the hardest part about surrendering control for me is often leaving what I love and forfeiting what's familiar into God's hands. I told last Sunday about my initial surrender in August of 1987, but I want you to know that surrendering control is more than a one-time thing. After I surrendered control in 1987, the Lord came, He purified my motive, but then He had to work on my mind. He had to get my mind like His, and He's still working on that. But He's been working hard and holy on my mind. It would be 5 years later, after I have waved that flag of surrender, after I have surrendered control, that I was invited to preach a revival. Now, mind you, I haven't been to Bible college yet. But this was the early part of 92, and I was invited to preach a revival at the church I was raised in, the Free Grace Wesleyan Church on Harker's Island. I had three messages ready, because there's going to be three services. And at the end of the third service, Reverend Grindstaff, bless his heart, he got up and he asked the people, the church was packed out of curiosity, homeboy, you know, going to maybe go preach the gospel. And he asked the congregation that last night, he said, how many would like to go another week? And everybody raised their hand except me. And then he looked at me and said, what do you think, Brother Carey? And I was like, I think I'm outvoted. So we went a whole week. I had no more messages. I preached everything I knew. So I had to get up early every morning and go to God and say, God, what do you want to say to the people? I had to surrender control every morning, and He was faithful. I think it was Tuesday morning of that week. I felt like God was summoning me. He was calling me to meet Him at the beach. I got up at 5 o'clock. I drove over to the boardwalk. I walked down. I sat on a swing. Some of you have heard this story. Please be patient. I think God wants us to hear it again. I sat on a swing that had been built there, a gazebo and the like, and I sat in the dark. And that loneliness of the call, I was trying to turn it into what Nouwen says, I was trying to turn it into solitude. What's the difference between aloneness and solitude? Aloneness, you feel like it's just you. Solitude, you know God is present. And so I was sitting on that swing, trying to turn loneliness into solitude, when He spoke. He said we would know His voice. And I could see the sun just starting to peak, just starting to rise to the left. And it was like He just said, keep your eye on the sunrise. And I kept my eye on the sunrise. I mean, I've got up pretty early to come over here. I'm trying to see if God wants to say something to me. I didn't know what He was up to. And the sun began to rise, and shortly thereafter, I saw a jogger. Jogger was coming towards me. It was a man, I could tell that. And he had a golden retriever, and the golden retriever was off the leash. And the golden retriever was up at the high tide line. It was low tide, and he was sniffing and smelling everything along the way. And the man got about right here, and the dog got about right here, and I was the stuff that he sniffed and smelled. And so when the guy got right there, he looked back to me, and the dog called the dog, and I looked him right in the face. He was maybe 30 years old, the prime of life. And he went on, and the dog went on sniffing, and the Lord said, keep your eye on the man. Do not take your eye off the man. There's nothing else happening. So I watched the man. The man went down about 300 to 500 yards. There was a pier there, the Oceana Pier, fishing pier. I watched the man. He went under the pier. He turned around and came back. The dog turned around and came back. When the dog... he got about right here. I was just paying attention to the dog for a minute. I took my eyes off the man because I like my dog, but I'm not sure about yours. And so I was paying attention to the dog, and all of a sudden the man called the dog, and I looked up and I saw the man. He's right here. He's maybe 40 yards from me. He looked straight at me, and the dog called the dog. If he was a day old, he was 75 years old, the man. I wasn't frightened. The opposite. As he kept running, I wanted to run after him. But I knew that I hadn't been given ability to do that. He kept going. He ran into that sunrise. That dog ran with him, and I sat there quiet. And I knew the Lord was going to say something, because I was beautifully confused. And the Lord spoke in my spirit. He said, Carey, now, your life is as short as a run to the pier and back. If you want to spend your life doing something that will last forever, surrender to me once and for all. And it was easy. I was like, Lord, I surrender control again because I want my life to last forever. I've never doubted my call a time since that. And I've prayed that God is doing what he promised he would do. But guess what? That wasn't the end of my surrender. Yeah, it was once and for all, and then again whenever he asked. And so we have to keep our ear tuned to his heart, because he can change the plan anytime he wants, because he's God. And he knows what's up ahead and we don't. But I can tell you this, you can trust the God of the past and the God of the present to be the God that gets you to the future. I want to give you 7 words to write down. I believe God gave me these words, and he wants somebody to write them down today, and he wants you to pray along these lines today, these 7 words, these surrendered, the word is in there, but they're released to God, abandoned to God. These are the words I want to give you. Anybody that wants to write them, if you'd rather not, that's fine. I'm just going to be faithful. These words came to me like a rush. I just have to share them. The first word is serious. Abandoned unto God is a serious thing. The second idea is trusting. You can't abandon to God without trusting God totally. The third idea about abandon, it's going to require prayer. I mean, you will have to pray continuously without ceasing. Number 4 is about seeking. Abandoned unto God is about seeking his face, seeking to become his will. Number 5, present, the word present. We abandon to God only in the present. Where we are right now, we abandon to him in the present. The 6th word, surrendered. We have to be surrendered. That's what abandon to God is about. It's our hands off. It's our hands off. And then 7, that's what you experience. The same thing I experienced as I sat on that swing. It's called peace. In case you were right and you missed a word, serious, trusting, prayer, seeking, present, surrendered, peace. One of the songs that we sang today had this line in it, and when I heard it, it stopped me in my tracks, and I wrote it down. Have you come to the end of yourself? When you come to the end of yourself, you will abandon to God. You will surrender control. And you will continue to surrender whenever he asks. I'd like to bow our heads for a moment. And I'd like to take just a quiet time right now. And I want whoever would in your quietness to thank God for the life of Billy Graham. Thank you, Jesus, for using an ordinary man to do extraordinary things. Billy's life was as short as a run to the pier and back, but the things that you did through him are eternal. You want to do the same with us. You want to get glory from our story. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Doesn't matter what age you are. Today, if you say, Pastor Kerry, I wouldn't want to leave this service today without signaling heaven that I want to surrender control. I want to abandon to God. I want the rest of my days to be lived serious, trusting, in prayer, seeking, in the present, surrendered, so I might have the peace that comes from God being in control. If that's your prayer today, just raise your hand to heaven. God knows the hands that are up. Just raise your hand to heaven. Okay, let your hand down. I don't know all that that means, what you've just done. But I know the God that you surrendered to is faithful. You know, Abraham, it says of Abraham, that Abraham went to a place that he didn't know where he was going, but he was content that he was going wherever he was going with God. That's a mouthful, but that is so true. And so you've raised your hand today. You don't know where God's going to lead you. But if you are willing, I promise you that he will lead you where you want it to always be, and you couldn't get there on your own. So trust him today with that. And God's people said, amen. Well, today we have a few announcements. I'm going to give those first and then do something quickly. The college connection with Pastor Billy Logue will happen the day after second service. It says in the foyer. So you can look for Pastor Billy if you're a college student and you want to be connected with the church. Just out there. Pastor Billy was the one who received the offering today and gave the announcements. Also today, if you want a prayer, someone to pray with you or for you, we have that every Sunday at the well, right across from the cafe. People are waiting. Today, if you're first time and you'd like to have a kind of a brochure, we got a new brochure we just did. It's a beautiful brochure. It has information on the church right back here at the little table under the sign, Holiness Unto the Lord. You'll find that brochure. I hope you'll stop if you're a first timer and get that. Celebrate Recovery will be happening tomorrow evening, as always. Meal at 6, worship at 6:30. Also, I would ask that you would pick up your Easter invitation cards and begin to invite folk for the Easter service. People will come most often if they're invited. And the family portrait fundraiser that we talked about, I asked Heidi before the service, there's something I should tell people. She said, yeah, we tend to wait to the last minute to sign up for things. It would be wonderful if people who want the family portrait would sign up today. So if you could stop by that table, that would be helpful to get us ahead of the game a little bit so we know we're in the right place and we're not cramming. The ushers are going to come quickly right now. And as they're coming, I have one other announcement. We have a single mother that's in need of housing. Within the next week or two, we've been looking, been helping, haven't found something suitable for her. She does have pets. And so if you have any idea of a place that a single mother may be able to afford, if you would call the church here and ask for Angela Sipe, my assistant, we'll get the word to the mom, okay? Just thought I would ask today because it's getting down and we're not having any favor yet. And we're trusting God. She's certainly trusting God. Talked to her this morning. But if you have something that you think might work, so let us run that lead and see if it will happen. Today we're going to receive this offering for Eastern Nazarene College. In part, we give to them, but we hope to have an overflow in the offering to give to them and to other educational outlets throughout the Church of the Nazarene, like the seminary and the Bible College. This is just an investment we're putting in for training. And also, if there's extra money here, whatever's left, we divide it up in the way that it's needed. It'll be used for compassion issues throughout the year when we don't have another budget to run to. So it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a beautiful overflow offering. Whatever you'd like to give, not out of compulsion, just out of cheerfulness. And I have a little cheerful voice that is going to come up on the screen because he couldn't be with us today. So as the offering is received, we'll see if the video will speak to us as well. Ushers, thank you. I missed it first service, so they thought I wasn't going to do it this service, but my memory sometimes comes back. It's okay. It's not working. Okay. Hallelujah. There is a thank you video that I put together because the Lord spoke to me for Eastern Nazarene College to thank them for the investment they gave to Pastor Adrian, Pastor Julie, and Pastor Olivia. And they all speak on the video, but I had pulled Pastor Adrian's part just because he wasn't able to be here. And last we looked, the video had 15,000 plays. So Eastern Nazarene College is grateful for it. You can probably find it on our own website or Facebook page, I should say, not website. Just put in Eastern Nazarene College, maybe it'll come up. But it is a pretty great video to do your heart sanctified proud just to see our folks speaking on it. And if you would stand now, I invite you to stand. If you have your bulletin, the Lord's Prayer is there, just in case you don't know it. You know, maybe people here, you know, you hear us pray the Lord's Prayer, and you do like what Pastor Bobby Kemp one time said when he was in the children's choir. He didn't know what to sing, and so the director said, just say watermelon, watermelon, watermelon over and over. So if we say the Lord's Prayer and you've been doing the watermelon thing, we want to make sure that we all have the prayer in front of us. So everybody that has a bulletin, let's turn to it so that we won't know who's doing watermelon, and we can all pray the prayer together. Because it's a beautiful prayer, and I don't want to take for granted that everyone's memorized it. And I thank Vicki Dove for giving us the idea of getting this in our bulletin. So people who haven't learned this beautiful prayer can learn it. I remember we were in Bible college. Every night before we put our kids to bed, we prayed this prayer in unison. I miss those moments. I miss those moments. This prayer is a prayer that covers everything because Jesus gave it to us. Let's pray it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Two things before you run out. If you ever wanted to stay the third service, today would be a good day. Pastor Adrian is preaching, and Pastor Joe's leading the worship in the Spanish service. So I invite you, if you ever wanted to stay, it'll be happening here about noon. And now I want everyone to turn around and face that direction. And I don't know if they'll be able to see you, but let's have a hand for everybody on Facebook Live. And you're dismissed. Okay. God bless you. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go surrendered.